Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Video Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Hey, everybody, it's Michael Fox.
And this is Destiny. How's everybody doing? You doing good, Michael?
I'm doing real good tonight, and I'm ready to explore the paranormal.
Me too. I am so ready. We're going to share a story here in a little bit about an investigation that we did last week that kind of got crazy on us. Jessica, it's good to have you on. We missed you last week. Are you feeling better?
So much better. I cannot even begin to explain how bad I was feeling last week. And the only person I could wish that on is maybe my ex-husband.
That's pretty paranormal.
Well, since he's definitely dead, yeah, it's pretty paranormal.
Yeah.
And Kobe, it's good to have you back with us. How's everything doing? How's Maddie and the kids?
They're doing good.
Maddie and Jace, are they feeling better?
They are. They're doing good. Jace is sitting right here beside me.
Oh, hey, Jace. How are you?
Hey, Mama Fox.
Hey, baby. I love you.
Love you, too.
Oh, and there goes Addie. That's Addie. She has to make her grand appearance on the show tonight. I was talking to Jessica earlier, and we were talking about haunted objects that we own. And she has a fascinating one I'm going to let her tell you about a little later on. We have several, and I have not sought after any of these. They just seem to come to me in the mail. I had one come. Anonymous address. I mean, no return address. It didn't say where it came from. I opened it and there's a doll in there. Okay, so I have people coming to my office at work and they're saying, "Hey, are you the paranormal lady?" I'm like, "It's in the town I work in. That's what they call me, the paranormal lady." It's crazy. The paranormal lady. I mean, I have a name, Destiny. I mean, but I'm the paranormal lady in Rottmar.
Well, you know, a
better
lot
than
of
my nickname.
A lot of people have a misconception of what we do.
That's so true.
They think we go out and chase ghosts, and you know, that's very far from the truth.
Where do we chase them to?
Yeah, exactly.
The grave.
Ghost Chaser. There we go. That's another title. Destiny the Ghost Chaser.
Yeah.
Michael the Ghost Chaser.
So my neighbor is from Guatemala, and when he found out that I like to go and sit in dark places and try to talk to spirits, he started calling me bruja, which is Spanish for witch.
Yeah, people really kill me. I mean, just because I'm a paranormal investigator, a demonologist, got a few other titles under my belt. I mean, they automatically associate that with witchcraft, which I don't do witchcraft. Nobody on our team is a witch. I mean, that's not who we are and what we do. We do have some witches that are friends of ours, so I'm not knocking witches. To each his own. Whatever your religion is, I respect it. I promise you. But we live in a community, and because we go to church, a lot of people think that that's something that we shouldn't do. But they don't have a problem if they have a problem calling me and asking me how to solve a paranormal problem. But anyway, we were talking about haunted objects. I've got several dolls that has come into my possession. One of them, they called her Mrs. Spoons. And they called her Mrs. Spoons because anywhere this doll ended up in their house, a spoon would appear beside her, is the story that they told. I've had this doll for several months, and not one time have I seen a spoon anywhere near this doll. But I keep a watch on her. I have a majorette doll that someone brought to me, and they said, "You've got to take this doll." And I said, "What's the matter with the doll? I mean, she's from 1960s, and she's got her little majorette costume on." And they said, "This doll moves. This doll moves." And I'm like, "Well, okay, I'll take her. I'll watch her for a little while, and then I'll let you have her back." And they said, "I don't want her back." You know, so I still have this doll. And there are some stories about this doll. I brought the doll home and told Michael the story of the doll. And he said, "Well, I'll have to see this to believe it." So we set the doll up on the dresser, kind of leaned her up against the wall there, and she's standing. And we watched this doll. I mean, I fell asleep one night watching this doll to see if she moved. She didn't move. But one day I came home from work, and she was not in the same position that she was left. So I told Michael, I said, "Michael, you moved her, didn't you?" And he said, "No, I thought you did," because he had noticed that the doll was in a different position. So I gave him my word I didn't move it, and vice versa. And time went on. We watched this doll. The doll ended up in the floor next to my side of the bed, propped up against the wall. And I had my cat had kittens, and they were in my room. The house we lived in had a humongous bathroom. The commode was off to itself. And then you had the room with the vanity and the garden tub. You had the big walk-in closet over there. And oh, how I miss that big old closet. I miss it with everything within me. Then our bedroom. Well, I had one of those pin lights that has the laser. It's the laser light. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, a laser light. And I'm sitting on the side of the bed. Michael's already asleep, and I'm playing with the cats, and I'm running the cats down that through the bathroom. And then I'll stop it and jerk it back, and the cats would kind of just slide on the floor. And it was funny. I love doing that to the cats. Well, I'm playing with the cats, and all of a sudden that doll. Now, there is a possibility that one of the cat's claws got hung in it and it went running across the floor. But there's also that possibility that that doll jumped at that cat and landed in the middle of the floor with cats running everywhere. I don't remember. See, you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
I didn't actually see the beginning of that. The part I saw was the doll coming across the floor and the cats running. So, you know, that's pretty much the last time that doll was in my room.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if it was paranormal or not. Matter of fact, I think it's under all that stuff up in the closet right now, so I can't see it.
Yeah, it's up there in the closet.
I mean, you never want to take chances with these things.
We also have a haunted coin that given to us.
We do. An investigation in Carrollton that we did. The former homeowner of this house, who had passed on, was a coin collector, and he worked at a jewelry store. He owned a jewelry store in town. And they found this coin, and they really felt there was an attachment to that coin because they had been remodeling the house, moving around. And they pulled a desk off the wall that was attached to the wall, remodeling their son's room. And they found that coin. that coin gave them the creep. So we have that. It's actually a silver dollar.
It's a $20 gold piece.
Oh, okay. Mm. And so we have that. We've got several. I'm going to let LaVeda go spend some time with Kobe one day. What do you think about that, Kobe?
No.
Jessica has a unique haunted doll, too. Tell us about that doll that you have.
So last year, a friend of my family that lives up in Kentucky contacted me. And he's like, I found this really interesting item at Goodwill. He worked at Goodwill and he found the doll and he said something drew him to it. And he said, I bought it. He said, and then I realized that it was probably an item that shouldn't get into somebody else's hands. And he didn't know exactly what it was, but he knew whatever it wasn't good. So he sent me some pictures of it. And I was like, yeah, I think I know what it is. And he said, well, what is it? And I said, I think it's an Appalachian voodoo conjuring doll, also known as a boogity doll. So we're talking about, you know, Appalachian hoodoo. This is like mountain magic. They're, you know, putting a root on somebody. It would have been used. Lee told me that it was supposed to be a vessel for like a female spirit, but I'm not real sure exactly what its use is. But he took it home with him and he put it in his bedroom at first, which probably wasn't the wisest idea. And things started getting moved and things started going missing. And then he started hearing footsteps in the hallway. And he'd lived in that apartment for a little over a year. He'd never had any problems before. And he called me one night and he was in a bad panic. And he said, I am scared of this thing. I don't know what to do. Well, I talked him through wrapping it up and blessing it and sealing it up. And I had him put it in a safe and put a Bible on top of it until he could ship it to me. So he decided he was going to ship it to me and he sent it Priority Express. I received it. And so I rebound it here so it wouldn't cause any havoc in my house. Of course, everything bad that happens, my kids are like, oh, it's the doll. And I'm like, no, things just happen sometimes. I mean, every light bulb that blows can't be because of the doll that I've got wrapped up in blessed fabric in my bedroom. But she's an interesting piece. She's got real human hair and her eyes are made of some kind of glass and she is black from head to toe. And I don't mean like African-American, although the hair does appear that it may have been African-American, but I mean like they dyed her everything black except for the trim on her dress.
The first picture that you showed, well, the only picture you showed me of it, it looks like a burnt black, like a piece of wood that had been burnt. It looked burnt to me.
So her head burnt is made black. Of an apple, I think. Like when you touch her skin, it feels like dried fruit. And I don't even know how to explain that, but you know, like fruit leather almost. And it looks to me like they dyed it some color, black.
What's the chances that's human skin or some type of skin?
There's a chance it could be. I'm not a taxidermy person, so I don't know that I would be the one to identify it. But it sure does feel like the flesh of dried fruit to me. It could be dried flesh. I don't really want to think about that because it's in my house. But so far here, I've not had too many problems out of her. And that's, you know, the difference in somebody that knows how to handle the object versus somebody that didn't know what they were doing when they got it. So she's stored safely. And I was told that I needed to keep her, that she was happy here. So looks like she's going to be with us for a while.
Yeah, well, you keep her happy for sure. The thing about haunted objects is, you've got to keep them blessed. You've got to keep, you know, you've got to maintain them. And that's one thing that I've had to learn. I was talking to Santori about this. And, you know, they have the little haunted road show thing that they do. And about how do you bless them? Well, how do you keep them blessed? How do you know what to do? you know, and one thing that she taught me is every item is different, and some actually require different techniques. And I'm like, okay, so
doing business in an app-driven
I have absolutely been keeping this stuff blessed, and I've got one real strong object, and that object is Leveda, our haunted little doll. And a lot of people have seen this doll in person, and some people have seen it on Repossessed on Hulu channel. We have that doll is part of season one, episode two. Every time I take her out, her blessing comes from the Cajun demonologist. I bought a St. Michael card, and that card stays on the case that she's in at all times. I get that. I get him to bless that every time he's around that to try to keep it fresh and keep it sealed. Everything's been quiet around here, having her around, where it hasn't always been that way.
Well, it's all about how you handle them, and you've got to learn how to handle each item, because each item is different. So right. After you've figured out how to handle her, then, you know, things calm down.
Do you know, one thing I've noticed, though, is that when I show her to somebody, or I show the box to somebody, there's a little activity around the house later that evening. And maybe a couple of days after that, too. But as long as I keep her out of sight, don't acknowledge it. Like right now, you can walk through my house. She is in my house at the current moment. But you could walk through my house and you wouldn't see her.
So when you showed her to me, did it stir up activity in your house afterwards?
It usually does. Anything from, like, I hear something like it's knocking on wood. And to me, I associate that with, we have her separated from the hex box. That seems to be the way that we keep the activity down, is separating her from that box. And then sometimes if it seems like she's happier in the box. So I don't know. It just depends on how I'm feeling about the thing. But right now she's separated from the box and the items that were found in the box with her, and everything seems to be fine. There was a time that we had separated her and packed her in the suitcase to take her on a trip, on a plane. So we kind of took her out of the box. We securely wrapped her up. We securely wrapped the box, and, there was some mischief that she caused in our in my suitcase, because that's where I had her. It seemed like, and it's when we went to Virginia last year. What we did is we had her wrapped up separate from the box, and I had toothpaste. I had a little bottle of baby oil, because I like to take my eye makeup off of baby oil. Just a tad, it works. And if I wear fake eyelashes, I found out that that's easier to take those off too, which I hardly ever wear them, but sometimes I do. If it's for a photo shoot, I will. And I had that in there, shampoo, conditioner. When we got to the rental car place, I had to open the suitcase to get my phone charger out. When I opened it, all those bottles, the lids were off, unscrewed completely, separated from the bottles, and all these bottles were emptied out in my suitcase, every one of them. And I thought, that is just the strangest thing. I mean, I was short of clothes that weekend because my clothes got ruined. The baby oil ruined. We had just bought new team shirts, and every one of those were ruined with the baby oil. And it seems like and I swear to goodness, this is true. It looked like somebody had taken the baby oil and squirted it on every T-shirt that I had where my name was in Fox Paranormal. That was creepy. So on the way home, we were in the little smoking lounge thing because we had to wait at the airport 7 hours. Our flight kept being delayed. And lo and behold, here comes the pilot in. And he's into the paranormal. And we sat there and we talked. And then I said, let me ask you something. Is it possible that pressure in the airplane could have caused those bottles to pop open? And he's like, well, there is a possibility of that. But for them to be emptied on your clothes the way you're talking about, it's highly unlikely. So I think she was a little upset that she had to be in the belly of a plane in luggage and take that trip.
No, I don't think she liked it at all.
No.
I think she got even.
Right. And Michelle was over here one day, and she was going to take some pictures of the doll for me. And she goes to take her out because we still had her wrapped up from a previous trip. And when she opened the suitcase, the doll's head has never been moved. We have never turned the head on that doll to the left or to the right. It's just always been straight, just like the day we got her.
Yeah.
And this particular time, she was on one side of the suitcase. The box was on the other. When Michelle opened the lid of the suitcase, her head was turned toward the box.
She's looking for it.
Yes, like she needed to be reunited with that. So I don't know if being with the box gives it power or what. I just don't want to take any chances.
Well, it would kind of seem that way.
Yeah, it's been a while since she's been blessed, so...
It might be time for it again, especially with you talking about it.
Yeah.
We do like to get it done every so long, you know, just to keep it going.
I've been lucky with mine. It's stayed sealed up and I don't really bring it out. So I don't really show it around. I don't even post pictures of it anywhere online because I don't really want a lot of questions or people trying to figure out where it is.
Right. That's something we haven't done with the box or the doll. We have not put it out on social media. But before long, we're going to do a Facebook live stream from our page, Fox Paranormal. And we're going to show this item because there's people that want to see it. So we're going to give them that opportunity via live stream one day. And I think that's going to be something right there for people to actually see this thing. People have seen it in person because we do take it to our paracons. So
yeah, we have had it at all the paracons last year.
Yeah, we're at the point where we can't take the box with us anymore because since it's been opened, everything is starting to decay. The stuff that was inside of a jar has started to decay. The doll itself is starting to show some wear and tear. To me, that just validates that it was in the ground for all those years because all the items inside looked a whole lot better then than they do now. You can just sit, when air hits this stuff, it starts deteriorating.
The light causes deterioration too. So taking it out of that darkness of being buried and bringing it all out and into the light has accelerated the deterioration process, I'm sure.
Right. We've been asked if we'll ever rebury the box somewhere, and that's a possibility. We may lay it to rest somewhere one day.
Got to be really careful where you do it.
Well, definitely on hallowed ground is
that's
where
the best place to put it. Yeah.
Her and the box will go. Also, the client, we got this box. He has cancer now. I'm going to be posting a link where you can donate to help him with his expenses on our page. His name is Russell. So anybody listening, please be watching our page for this. He is a very special man. He has a beautiful wife, children, and
awesome family. Awesome family. People. We love them to death.
If anybody wants to help them out, please do. That you know, cancer treatments are not cheap. And he's been flying to New York for his treatments. And so I know that gets costly.
Well, I mean, and then just feeling bad puts you in a position where it's hard to go to work if you are able to at all. And so it attacks you from a lot of different directions financially.
Yeah, he's got a little slogan that's called God is bigger. So he's got a lot of faith. And he's been battling this for a little over a year now, I believe. Maybe a little longer than that. So special people. They entrusted us with the box and its contents, and good people. Be watching for the link that I post for their GoFundMe too.
It's funny how we end up with haunted objects. People keep bringing them to us.
Right.
Because they want them out of their homes.
I got offered another doll the other day. There's a lady that my daughter used to work for, and she's got a doll that she swears that if it's not locked up in the box that she's keeping it in right now, if she sets it out somewhere in her house, it makes things fly across the room.
Mm.
I'd really like to investigate it.
Those things on eBay, they want to buy a haunted object.
Yes, I saw a fox bracelet. I think it was from the 30s or 40s. They were selling it for $50 and they said it was haunted. And I'm like, okay, it's a fox.
Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. People trying to sell them. Haunted items. There's Facebook pages where people are trying to sell haunted dolls on the Facebook pages. And I'm just dumbfounded. Like, why would you want to sell that to somebody? You don't know what they're going to do with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you think something's going on with this object, so you want to sell it to somebody else so they have, you know, to deal with it.
And I wondered this, do they do something to make these dolls haunted? I mean, do they is it possible they can put a little spell on it and bring spirits forth on that? I don't know. I would be afraid to. These items that we have, you know,
somebody put a spell on them.
I couldn't imagine some of these things falling in the wrong hands that don't know how to handle them. I've studied, because I don't ever want to bring anything, you know, into my home or on our property that could cause harm to somebody.
I've got literally came to me because the guy that got it at Goodwill was afraid that it would fall into the wrong hands and took it home.
Exactly.
And then it ended up with me because he knew that he could trust it in my possession, that I would make sure nothing happened with it.
I mean, what do? You buy a haunted object and you say, oh, I'm going to take this home and put it on the mantle. They don't have a clue. If these objects are really haunted, think about it. It's a spirit attachment to that item. It's not good.
How do you know it's like a haunting?
That's like
not a demonic attachment.
Exactly. That's just like, okay, I'm going to buy this demon and I'm going to bring it home so it can terrorize my family.
I don't think demonic or demons would attach themselves to inanimate objects, because their sole purpose is to find human beings.
But people bond them to objects.
Exactly.
So you can go and buy like a ring at the flea market and it's got a demon attached to it because somebody bonded it to that item. So you went out and bought yourself a secondhand demon.
Exactly. The hex box that we have and those items, they were put together. Well, they bound this item together for an evil intent. So you've got to think about it. Okay, so what is the one thing to make this work? You've got to conjure something to enforce this.
Mm-hmm.
So that something would have been a demon. You think?
Well, the same thing with my doll.
Yeah.
More than likely, you know, it could be a demon. But still, the demon has specific targets.
Oh, yeah. And if you get the item that it's attached to, then the next thing you know, you have an infestation. And then somebody in the house becomes oppressed. And we know what leads to next, possession. So you came in possession of a piece of, quote, haunted jewelry, and then you became possessed. That's how it goes.
Exactly. And that bracelet that I wanted, I thought about it. I actually messaged a friend, and they were like, you don't want to do that. And I was like, no, but I want it. You know, it's a fox, for crying out loud. I've got to have it because it's a fox. And I didn't get that because how do I know somebody didn't summon a demon while they were wearing that bracelet or something? You know, I'm at the point right now where I don't want to take any chances with stuff like that.
You know, I was listening to Jeremy Leonard, his podcast. And he was talking about, you know, buying items secondhand and certain things you don't buy secondhand. And of course, one of his big ones is mirrors. But jewelry was one of the things he mentioned that people that mean to do harm to others tend to bind evil things to and then give it to someone or sell it to someone.
Yeah, to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's been an open discussion with us and Jeremy for quite a long time now.
Well, you know, it was part of his demonology class.
Yeah.
And Jessica's been listening to his podcast. Because a lot of when we deal with negative spirits, we put in force things that we've learned from him to make things work. Hey, Dylan. We're on a podcast live. Say hello to everybody, baby.
Hey, everybody.
He just looks at me like, mama.
Well, we're coming up on a commercial break here, Destiny.
Yeah, probably in about 5 seconds. 3 seconds. So, guys, we'll be back in just a few.
Okay, we're not recording now, right?
I do not know. I don't know if he's took us to the break or not.
Coming soon.
Deep South Paroc Comic-Con 2023.
Check out this amazing event that will have you laughing and screaming all at the same time.
This event has it all. From some cast members from The Walking Dead, workshops to help with psychic abilities, an oddities room, and even more. Not to mention the yummy food and amazing guest speakers. Don't miss out on this amazing paranormal experience. Get your tickets now as spaces are limited.
Don't forget the kiddos. It's a family-friendly event.
Deep South Paroc Comic-Con in Ozark, Alabama, August 19th and 20th, 2023. Visit www.deepsouthparocomiccon.com to get your tickets today.
Are you looking for web design, press releases, blog posts, product descriptions, academic writing,
to cheat in class,
social media marketing, and even logo design? Don't worry, there's a lot more, but I'm not going to list them right here. You need to visit Arden Marketing Enterprises at arden-ent.com. That's arden-ent.com. Or if you would like to speak personally to the owner of Arden Marketing Enterprises, call Teresa Fikes at 334-648-1214. Again, Teresa Fikes at 334-648-1214. Get on it.
Have you thought about becoming a published author? Don't have time around work, school, or family? Let us do the work for you. Save time by allowing eWriter Resources to work for you. You deserve the best online writing services available. Let us make your book and your dreams come true. Be a published author in 14 days when we custom ghostwrite your ebook. If you need an expert, allow us to handle your business writing and ebook. We are capable of creating ebook covers, websites, and all the content to go on it. Check us out at ewriterresources.com.
Simone, your favorite paranormal researcher from the show Ripa Says. If you want to watch her season one, just go to Hulu, check the reality TV section, look for Ripa Says, and there you go. Our first full episodes are full of stories, haunted objects, and amazing people that we met in all of our journeys. Make sure to follow me on social media at Marika Gaga. I would love to connect with you. Tell me about your secret haunted objects that we need to investigate. Tell me about everything you want. And do not forget to tell your friends to watch Repossessed.
Possession Inc. Looking to reconnect with your lost loved ones? Ready to finish that argument you knew you would win, but you croaked before you could prove your point? No worries. Adopt your Seance Sammy doll now. Set this yarn-made Sammy doll in the middle of the circle, and poof, your loved one transfers into the doll for you to do as you will. Yell, hug, kiss, smack, or burn. Take him to the movies, sleep with him, talk over tea, drown him with a pocket full of rocks. Get your Seance Sammy and begin your torturous healing today. And now, for those who prefer to talk to a female loved one that has passed, get your Seance Sally. All Seance Sammies and Sallies are subject to possession, and we hold no responsibilities for any and all mishaps dealing with a Seance Sammy or Seance Sally, including but not limited to burns, broken heart, measles, anal leakage, nightmares, and more. To claim your Seance Sammy coupon, call 1-800-POSSESSED. Again, that number is 1-800-POSSESSED.
And we're back.
We are back, and we are talking about haunted objects, and we're going to be talking about our investigation that we just recently did. And I think we have Kobe's on here tonight. And I know Kobe and I both had several experiences up, you know, when we were doing this investigation.
Well, how this last investigation came about is an investigation we did week before last.
Yeah.
We were talking about this location and we decided.
Did we lose connection?
Oh no.
Everything went silent.
It did, like.
Well, it would seem we're experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties here. I don't know what happened to Destiny Michael. They just kind of poofed.
Yeah, they actually, it shows that they logged off.
Okay, so we're going to hold down the fort for a minute. I'm going to pick up where Destiny left off there. We were talking about the investigation that we did a few weeks ago. It was a commercial property. We went in and investigated because there had been some claims of paranormal. But on the way back from that investigation, we were kind of just cruising. There's Michael.
Yeah, we just got back. I don't know. We were out of the chat there for a minute, and like Twilight Zone moment.
We went silent, so I started taking over here for a minute, and I got to the point where
Lord
blanked out on us.
So I was at the point where we were talking about where after the investigation the week before, we were kind of cruising around looking at some things, and we stumbled upon something. We were like, hey. Let's investigate that. So I'm going to let you pick back up. Are you there?
We're having something strange going on here with the podcast. But Yeah, just riding around talking about places that might be haunted. I ordered luminol and we were going to go out and just find the location, spray it down and just see where it.
I think we might have lost Destiny again. So the deal was that she purchased luminol and we were going to go out and spray it down and see if we could find any traces of what we had been told happened there. And of course we did find some illumination. Kobe, are you still with us?
I am. I'm still here.
Okay. You're going to have to help me run this until they come back. There they are.
We're back here again. I mean, it's like this story, something is trying to block the story from being told here.
Well, without going too deep into where it is, we're just going to say outdoor location.
Yeah, it was an outdoor location. So we went out there. I mean, right off the bat, it had this feeling to it. And we did go at nighttime. It was raining last weekend and it was cold. And so as soon as we pulled up, it was on.
Well, the first thing we walked in and saw was a pentagram.
Yes.
Exactly. Someone had been out there, drawn a pentagram. We really didn't even have to use our luminol because it appeared other people had been out there investigating as well. There was fish luminol sprayed because that doesn't last a long, long time. And we were able to find the exact location. Of course, we walked right to it. The first place we went in there was exactly the spot. And I had no idea the exact spot. I just knew that it had happened there.
Yeah, the thing that struck me odd was, you know, like 15 feet away from it where the, I'm sorry, my brain went, pentagram was
the
drawn.
The murder-suicide took place.
There was 15 or 20 feet between where the murder-suicide happened and where the pentagram was drawn. There was blood trace at the pentagram. Like, you could see there being blood, but there was no runs from the location to the pentagram. So that means that there was likely a different source of blood. I kind of wondered if there'd been some kind of sacrifice there.
Okay, so our producer, Stan Fike, sent me a message. I'm sure he don't mind me saying this, but he said every time we fade out, he's hearing a female voice coming through.
Well, isn't that something?
Yes. So, yeah, we're being messed with because something doesn't want this story told, but we're going to tell it anyway.
We'll tell it anyway. We have to type it out.
We're going to tell it. I was on the other side, complete opposite side. You were there with me, and I started walking away, and I went right to the exact spot, and I'm like, this is where it happened. So we're there, and Michael gets luminol all over him. I mean, all over his hands. So Kobe, being the medic that he is, rushes over and starts washing Michael's hands. And we didn't get it all off either. I found another bottle of water, and we washed him up some more. So we did use the black light, and I mean, there were splatters of blood on the ceiling, the wall, the floor. So of course, us being paranormal investigators, we did not stop there, and we should have. But we did do an EVP session there, and it's like the feeling out there was so different. It's like I knew we were in trouble, and we did not stay long. But it's like you could feel something was watching you and moving closer to you.
Not just that, but like a feeling of dread and a real heaviness set in during the EVP session there at the end. It just got very heavy, very fast.
A black cloud kind of came over us.
It was dark out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was foggy and it had scary to it anyway. But everybody began to feel that. Toby, what were you feeling out there?
It was very dark. All of a sudden, it kind of got cold. And it was cold out, but you can tell a difference. I had cold chills. It was, you could feel evil there.
It did get pretty evil. It made me wonder, okay, you know, only somebody not in their right mind would do an act like this anyway. We're out there and Jessica turns on her necrophonic app and we were not getting good responses. One response we got is, was that he's coming?
Mm-hmm. They just don't listen. It said, they just don't listen.
Yeah, they just don't listen.
Told us to leave several times. And on the way home Sunday, the girls, my daughters and I listened to the whole recording. And there's a couple of places where we actually hear the word demon.
Well, we hang around there for a while. I don't think we were there, 20 minutes? It might be stretching it to say over 30 minutes for sure. Michael and I both started to stand guard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which we're known to do on an investigation because it's our responsibility as being leaders of the team to make sure everybody's taken care of. So he actually stood facing one direction and I stood beside him facing the other. It's kind of like if anything came up, you know, we would see it kind of thing. It's like you, that feeling, hey, we've got to guard ourselves here. And I don't know against what. But that guard went up. It's like that, okay, let's stand guard. They're about to get pretty bad here. So we're out there, and you could actually.
From the beginning, when we got there, I felt like we're not supposed to be here. And I sat with my back up against that wall, looking straight out the front, holding on to everything I had out there, like holding on just in case we had to like leave in a hurry. Which ended up being.
Oh, yes, yes. One thing that was strange is I kept feeling like something was coming. And the feeling I was getting is like, it's getting closer. Whatever this is getting closer to us. Kind of like in a horror movie when, you know, Freddy's coming for you or something, and you know he's getting closer, and you just don't know when he's going to jump out at you, but you know he's going to do it. And that's the feeling that I had, was something is going to attack us. The strangest thing that happened, this is absolutely going to sound ridiculous, but this is a fact. And everybody that was there, Alex, Michael, Kobe, myself, I'm telling you this happened. The end of my finger started tingling like it was going to sleep. So I kind of, you know, rubbed it down a little bit and then we're still here. Put my hands down in my pocket in my jacket and it just kept tingling. Finally, it got to the point where we've got to get out of here. We've got to go. And so, you know, I voiced this, Jessica voiced this. Yeah, we need to go now. And I'm serious. I could not get to the car fast enough. You know, I picked my battles and I felt like I was, us being there was agging on a fight with something.
Yeah.
And so the thing to do was to leave. So I'm like, we've got to go and we've got to go now. So we get in the car and I'm like, okay, so we're going to get out of here. Then I'm like, thinking, Michael, put the key in the switch, honey, and let's go. Start the car up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. As we were leaving there, I realized I can't feel the tip of my finger. So I turned the light on, and it just happened to be the place of a murder-suicide where a gun was used. And this is my trigger finger, the end of that, the last joint, and my pointer finger on my right hand was white.
It was cold and dead.
It was cold and dead, cold to the touch. I can't remember.
I've never seen a living human being have a part of their body that color before. It was white, like a corpse white.
Dead body, cold. And it was just the end of my finger. I turned the light on in there. Everybody saw. I'm like, look at this. I said, I can't feel it. I was pinching on my finger. I could not feel the end of my finger. And I'm thinking, okay, am I having a stroke and it's just affecting the end of my finger? I mean, I didn't know. I was a little concerned because I'm thinking, okay, medically, what can cause something like this? And nothing came to mind. And I'm scared to Google it, to be honest with you. My first thought was, we've got to get somewhere. We've got to get somewhere on holy ground. We've got to get to a place. And then Jessica suggests, okay, we need to get somewhere and pray. We need to go somewhere right now and pray. Let me tell you, there was an evil presence in that vehicle with us. I mean, it was lingering with us. Something was around us. So I'm like,
it was
okay.
Attacking us. Exactly. Because when we pulled out of there, I had a headache on the right side of my head that was hurting so bad I thought I was going to throw up. And then after we got about a quarter mile down the road, it lifted like a storm had passed. Just suddenly that ache was gone.
Well, I did not get relief from my finger until Michael took us to a church. And I said, this church will do. Just get us to a church. Get us to a church. Get us on some holy ground. Get us there now. And so we get out and we get in a circle and we begin praying, grounding ourselves. Mm-hmm. I was so tense. I couldn't relax. Usually when I do that and I'm grounding, I just relaxed right up. I could not. My neck was stiff. I could not relax the muscles in my body. I was just so tense. And well, y'all saw how I was. That has never happened to me before. Never. None of this. The feeling did not start coming back until we were at that church and we were in the grass. And if that church has cameras, they probably thought these people have lost their minds. That's the people that live up the road from this church. What is wrong with them? They are insane.
They're probably wondering why we didn't do it at our church.
Well, our church.
We didn't want to take it home with us.
Yeah, we
we left it for their Sunday morning. Sunday morning service.
So what we did is we drove that spirit down into the ground. I mean, just kind of sent him to the center of the earth and kind of chained him to the core kind of thing. And then when we were leaving, I said, oh my, because the next morning is Sunday morning, you know. So I thought, well, they're going to have a good time in the morning trying to have church over this right here.
It wasn't just Sunday. It was Easter Sunday. We left them an Easter
present. I know.
Present.
We left them good for Easter Sunday. But, I mean, it was just, will I do this again? No.
Oh, I wouldn't step back in that place if somebody offered me $1 million cash.
No. I mean, you know, I pick my battles, and I don't choose that one at all because the demon spirit that probably caused this to happen to begin with is probably still there lingering around waiting for his next subject. And I definitely don't want to be his next target.
See, I felt like we were being challenged.
Like challenged, like how?
Challenged why we were there, you know, or are we strong enough to face this? And whatever was there was stronger than anything that we could muster up. So, you know, even if you put your armor on, I don't think it would have helped any. I think the best thing for us to have done was leave.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not going to get in a fight with spirits, you know.
The whole thing left me wondering something, and that was that something that they conjured up there with that pentagram? And there was another symbol on the ground too that somebody that understands stuff like that told me was a sigil. But I cannot locate said sigil, so we're just going to have to leave that one. Why I can't locate
well,
what that symbol.
All the symbols or sigils, whatever you call them. But that particular one I've never seen before.
So, I haven't seen it either, and I can't find it. But it made me wonder, you know, was that something that was conjured there, or was that something that was left behind when he died?
If you go to a place and there is a pentagram drawn on the floor and it was used for evil intention, chances are, yeah, they were doing some type of magic. They were probably conjuring up a demon or trying to
raise those people from the dead.
Yeah, trying to do some necromancing. I mean, there's no telling. Michael and I have actually been to this place before, prior murder, suicide, and actually a very peaceful place.
It was always peaceful.
Till now.
Yeah. Terrible thing.
I mean, it was a place Michael and I would go and just sit there and talk. I mean, just a peaceful place, but it's not that place anymore. It's far from it.
The murder suicide happened, that they're using the murder suicide as like a gateway to it,
like a conduit.
Yes, yes. It's like they're linked to it, basically.
Well, for this individual to have done what he did, you know, for the murder suicide, he built up a lot of energy. There was a lot of energy propelling him to this direction. And I feel like, you know, when he killed himself, that energy was released into that area.
And stayed there because it's brick and stone. And then the police and the EMTs and whoever else came in and did their thing. And what did they do? They didn't clean that up properly. They hosed it down with a water hose, maybe a pressure washer if we were lucky. But from the looks of where the luminol picked up all the blood, it doesn't look like they even really pressure washed it. Kind of hit or miss situation. When we wash that blood out into the dirt, what happens then? The energy stuck there.
The ground absorbs it. Stans gave us permission to go over so we can finish telling the story. But I can say this. I have been warned about going to places like this, you know, opening ourselves up. It doesn't matter. No, Addie. Sorry, had to get onto the dog. We're warned about opening ourselves up to stuff like this. But when you're a paramedicator, I mean, that's what you do. You know, I'm a paranormal, you know, and the demonologist in me comes out when we're in negative situations, like demonic possessions, stuff like that. What I'm learning in my life is how to have the two working at the same time, so that I'm the paranormal demonologist type person. And it's hard to pull both in, because things that I've been taught on the demonology side go against things that I want to do in the paranormal. So, you know, I think that's probably why we got out of there safe, is because the demonologist kicked in and everything I learned and said, it's time to go.
And see, I felt it was time to go.
You're opening yourself up and your team up to something they do not need to experience.
I felt the it's time to go the minute we saw the pentagram.
Oh.
If I had been there alone, I'd have gotten my car at that point and been like, yeah, scoot, scoot. Because
yeah, but you know,
some things you don't battle by yourself.
And we're all like, I'm not going to be the person that says, hey, we need to go. You know, we don't need to be here. And I'm sure Kobe felt the same way, and Michael and you. And I know I did, you know, because destiny is there. And, you know, destiny's a badass sometimes. And destiny's like, yeah, let's do this. You know, when, you know, warning bells were going off from the minute we pulled up at that place. I'm telling mm-hmm. you.
That's the truth.
We pick our battles, and we, you know, we weren't there to battle. So,
well, I mean, the fact that we got away safe is a win in my book. But the second win is us never going back there, because I'm not ever. I don't care if it's broad daylight and I have an angel armory surrounding me. I don't ever want to go back there.
Yeah, there are just some places we don't need to be, and that's one of them.
You know, if it was to help someone, like if there was a family and they were suffering from, you know, an oppression or infestation because of something like that, and they called and asked for help, it would be different than us just going out and being like looky-loos, like we were doing that night. It's totally different when you're trying to help people. I don't think I'd be able to leave somebody in that situation knowing they had to sleep there.
Well, you know, we had your daughter with us, and
mm-hmm.
She doesn't appear to be afraid of anything.
She's my child, for sure.
But always safety first. If you ever take anybody into a haunted location, it's okay to be Betty or Billy badass, to be honest with you, but don't risk who you have with you. Don't put them right in danger. If you feel like there's danger, you know, by all means protect the people who are with you. And that was kind of my train of thought. Hey, you know, we've got to go, and we've got to go now. It's like, that doesn't mean I was scared. Well, yeah, it meant I was scared, but
well, you know, there's a difference there in was fear just a, and
it
respect.
Was time go.
I was not scared, but I did respect that whatever was lurking in the darkness had the potential to be our destruction. And that's where you go, yeah, I respect this thing's more powerful than me. It might be time to get in the car. I mean, would you stand there with a lion and you can't see where he is, but you know he's out there in the woods? Would you stay there
and see that
kitty kitty?
That is actually a feeling that I had, like we were about to be something's prey, because it was getting closer. I mean, I could feel that energy just getting closer and closer and closer to us. It was like it was coming from a distance, and it was on its way to us. And when it got there, it was going to be so pissed at us for being there. And then you've got to take the location. There were evidence that possibly other paranormal teams had been there investigating.
God,
you had
what they did there.
You had what appeared to, that people had been out there doing rituals there, you know, which were not good rituals. So we had all that energy there, and it was like a big, huge bundle of energy all combined together. And I didn't want to be there when that energy exploded.
My feeling on it was whoever had been there before us didn't know what they were doing, and they just fueled it.
Right.
They added to it. They put gas on the fire.
Well, whether they knew or not, you know, they did something there. So
they did something there, but I don't think they knew what they were doing.
And they probably,
you know, as we sat there and we'd use the Necrophonic app and we were getting these responses, like in my feelings, it was like when you're watching Jaws and the shark is about to eat somebody and it's like da-da, and then it starts to speed up.
Yeah.
As we were doing that session, the responses we were getting and then more and more. And it's like, oh gosh, this is bad. This is really bad.
Yeah, I remember looking over there on that little side where you were sitting, and I mean, you, Alex and Kobe were just like, you couldn't have dropped a pin between you. I mean, it was that intense. I mean, you needed to be close to somebody for security, for anchor or something.
Me and Alex said, you got to swap places with me. And I said, no. We ain't swapping places.
Where were you sitting?
I was in the middle. I was like, no, I got to get close to your mama. You know, I'm scared now because I'm hearing footsteps, and it was just getting bad. And we debated.
Yeah, the footsteps. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the footsteps.
You could hear walking around.
It sounded like a shuffle.
It was the minute that you told Daddy to face this way, and you're going to face the opposite direction. As soon as you did that, that is when we started hearing whatever it was, sounded like it was getting closer to us.
Alex and Kobe traded places, and the next thing I knew, Alex's hip was right against mine. And I won't say that I am fearless, but I am kind of like Destiny, where it's hard to scare me. And my child did get a little scared. Like when I said it's time to get in the car, she was the first one with her butt in a seat.
Well, I'm going to tell you something I had. It's okay to be a little scared sometimes. It's okay to be the type of person that this doesn't scare me. I mean, it would feed my adrenaline. It was a rush, and I'm not going to lie to you. But the more seasoned that I've gotten in investigations, you know, I've learned that, you know, that feeling of fear comes over you. It's not because you're a chicken. It's because you're actually feeling
it's the a fear
that that entity is trying to put on you.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's a warning sign. I mean, you've got to accept it as a warning sign sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's in human survival for us to go into, you know, fight or flight. So when we stand there in these situations where we're facing something that's not Casper the Friendly Ghost and we're feeling it, it's because fight or flight's getting triggered. And it's not just nothing in the dark that triggers your fight or flight. There are things that happen that we may not even really perceive with our eyes and ears, but we feel in our spirit.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Exactly.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, I like that. But
it was a hell of a thing, guys. It was a hell of a thing.
It really was something else. And I'm not going to lie to you. Destiny and Michael Fox or Fox Paranormal will never be represented at that place again.
I wouldn't even go to a function there if somebody said, well, you know, so and so's having this function over there. I'd be like, y'all better wear a crucifix and take some holy water and I'll pray for you while you're there. I'm not going.
Yeah.
I've seen people at this place sit in there and eat their lunch on lunch break from work, ride out and sit there. I bet people don't do that anymore.
I bet you if they do, they're people that are completely spiritually out of touch. Like they are spiritually dead. Because if you have any kind of
feel that, just crazy. But now my finger has not been numb since. And you know, the thing about it, if I were to shoot a gun, that's my trigger finger.
Mm-hmm.
That's what concerned me so much.
That was a communication. I really believe the tip of your finger going numb was a message. And it wasn't a pleasant one.
I have never seen a limb on my body white like that. It was terrifying. I'm not going to lie to you.
You know, the funny thing is,
I could not feel my finger.
Michael is a person that usually carries a firearm to protect himself, and I am too. A lot of our group is, but the truth of the matter is none of us took one that evening.
No.
None of us. Nobody had one. And I honestly wonder, what if one of us had taken one? That could have gone so bad.
Especially if it was a demonic spirit influencing the situation to happen.
Right.
It could have jumped a team member, maybe, and caused right. the same thing over, like a replay. So, you know, it was a good thing that we did it, because when I think about what could have happened there, I'm sure we're not the only paranormal team in the world who has intentionally put yourself in a dangerous situation.
Oh, no. People do it all the time. I mean, it's not wise, but I'm sure they do it all the time.
Exactly.
You know, this just makes me want to push home the point of when you are going out, you know, we talk about protecting ourselves. We talk about, like Michael said earlier, about wearing spiritual armor. And we talk about, you know, faith in our rosaries and our crucifixes and whatever other religious symbol people wear, Star David or whatever it is. But when you are looking at a location and you know that something like that has happened there, like, protect yourself, but not to that extent. Like, don't take weapons in places where something like that has happened, because if it is something malignant, you don't want it to jump on you and cause you to hurt somebody.
Exactly.
So it's really something you've got to think about when you're carrying, you know, a firearm or even a knife, and on a paranormal investigation, what happened here? You really need to pay attention to that before you carry a weapon up to these locations. Let me hop off my soapbox now.
Oh, no, it's good. I mean, if we can help somebody, maybe somebody who's just now starting out investigating the paranormal, you know, sharing our experiences and in some cases our stupidity in investigating can help somebody else if they get in that situation. Look, there's a time when you've got to go.
You know, every one of us had the instinct.
And try to wait for something to happen like that. If you feel like you're in a negative situation, get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't.
And every one of us.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're smart.
Every one of us had the presence of mind and the wisdom to know not to take a weapon there. And all of us at the same time felt the same feeling. It's time to go.
Oh, yeah. It was all of us. And when we say we took your daughter, we didn't take a 7 or 8 year old. She is.
No, she's almost 16.
Right.
So she went a little kid.
We kept a close eye on her too, though.
I won't let her out of my sight. My daughter, my older one is 23. And of course, Alex is almost 16. And my son is 18. And they go on investigations with me. Sometimes we do historic sites and those kind of things. Like, Halloween night, we did a covered bridge out near Helen. And I want them to be able to learn from someone that doesn't do stupid things on purpose. So absolutely. I take them with me. I mean, they're going to get involved in this. I know they are. They're all curious about what it is that I do, and I'm not going to be able to stop them. So I might as well train them right.
Exactly.
But she doesn't get out of my sight. When we're on investigations, she stays with me.
And that's the best thing to do, because you would never want her to, you know, if you refuse to let her learn about now, she's going to get in a situation going out on her own, because she's going to want to dig deeper into the paranormal. And if you haven't taught her all this stuff, she could get in trouble. Well, both your girls.
Well, I mean, my older daughter, when she was 18, decided that she was going to move in with some friends. And then they decided to take a road trip and move to Mississippi. And while she was down in Mississippi, they were doing some things in the house that weren't so wise, trying to investigate, because there had been some kind of violent crime in that house, and they were playing with Ouija board and some other things that weren't so wise, and they ended up bringing something into the house that was a very dark entity. And when I went down there to get her, I couldn't even stomach being in the house. Like, the minute I stepped into the house, that negative feeling was so thick in the house that I felt like I was going to throw up. I slept in a pickup truck that night to keep from having to go inside that house before we moved and left with her the next day. So she did, because I did not introduce her soon enough. She went down there and played with fire and got burned. So we learned a lesson that time. She's learning from me now, but so are the younger ones, because they're going to be interested. They're going to be curious, and I don't want them to be curious and do stupid things.
Right. Well, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead and cut this off. Stan, are you still with us?
We done put Stan to sleep.
Probably. But anyway, guys, we're going to go ahead and end our podcast for tonight. And we hope you've enjoyed listening to our story about our haunted objects and our experience last Saturday night. And give us some feedback. Go into that chat room and leave us some comments. If anybody has an explanation, what happened to my trigger finger, please, by all means, share it with me, because I would really like to know. Kobe, I hope you have a good night.
You too.
And Jessica, I guess next week we'll all be right here. Michael will be in St. Louis, Missouri.
But we'll be here same time, same channel.
Same bat time, same bat channel. Till next week, guys, from Michael Destiny, Kobe Jessica, Fox Paranormal. Peace and love, guys.
Be safe out there, guys.
Bye-bye.